praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, that was nice this morning.
Amen.
Oh, now we can see what your government is.
Yes.
Amen. How to live a Christian life under your government.
Amen.
Oh, strengthen all of us, Lord.
Amen.
I think we can transition to our prophesying meeting, and we are on this morning revival. Living a Christian life and church life under the government of God,
Amen.
The economy of God. And while I was preparing, I feel it is beneficial for us to enter into the general subject and the key statements together, which is on the page one, right before the week one outline. Okay, may we read the general subject together?
Living a Christian life and church life under the government of God for the economy of God.
And let's all read the first and second key statements.
Although the subject of first and second Peter is God's government, we need to see that everything concerning God's government should bring us back to the central focus and basic structure of these epistles, that's trying God as our goal and focus to carry out the economy of God. The preciousness of Peter's writing is that he combines the Christian life and God's government, revealing that the Christian life and the government of God go together as a pair.
So we know God has a kingdom on earth, right? And, you know, as a kingdom, there will be a government to carry out its economy, right? And also, for those kingdoms or countries even on earth, right? Each country has its own government because they have economy or policy to carry out, right? So, the same principle for God's kingdom. And we can see in the first key statements that God has an economy. This economy is that trying God as our full enjoyment, and eventually will be transformed into exactly as He is in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. But for God to carry out His economy, He needs a government, an administration on earth. So that's why we need to live such a Christian living under God's government. But yet, we need to focus on, we don't only focus on, oh, there's a God's government, there's God's ruling and discipline. But we need to have this kind of view that God's government and ruling and discipline is for us to reach the full enjoyment of God.
Amen.
And He has a goal, He has an economy we need to fulfill. So He discipline or ruling over us, not merely just want to punish us. No, because He needs to fulfill His desire and His goal.
So Brother David, excuse me, you doing week one or week two?
Oh, sorry, forgot to mention it's week two. We are on week two. Living a Christian life under the government of God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah,
week two,
yeah.
Okay, so the Roman numeral one for week two, it says the epistle of 1 and Peter on the universal government of God. And point A says that the subject of 1 Peter is a Christian life under the government of God, showing us the government of God, especially His dealing and with His chosen people.
Amen.
Right? Just like we mentioned earlier, that in order for God to carry out His economy, He needs to deal with us, because we are just fallen people. Right? We are sinners. But yet, we were made to contain God. But imagine if this container, this vessel, is not in the proper shape. Right, if there is something unclean or something stuck in the container, then this container cannot have its full capacity to contain God. So that's why God needs to come in to correct us as a container, as a vessel, so that we can reach the full function to express God. Point B says that the subject of 2 Peter is the divine provision and divine government, showing us that as God is governing us, He supplied us with whatever we need. I appreciate this point so much, right? On one hand, God is dealing with us, discipline us. But remember, his dealing is not for the sake of just punish or discipline us. When he put us in the trials, in the environment, or in all the situation, he supplied us, right? He supplied us with his very self. So when we are in environments, right, we need to be reminded that God is still with us, and he disciplined us for a reason. And that's why he, even though we are in sufferings, he is still supplying us with a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
How wonderful it is. Because of time, I need to jump to Romans number 2. It says the precious of Peter's writings is that he combines the Christian life and God's government, revealing that Christian life and government of God go together as a pair. So, you know, before I enter into this topic, you know, I just got reminded that sometimes I myself focus on too much, just be receiving, enjoying Christ as our life. But we need to be reminded that we need to be adjusted, we need to be corrected, we need to be put under God's government.
Amen.
Just like we mentioned earlier, in order to be properly express God in the God, we need to have this kind of dealing and ruling. So, point 2 on the C in the Roman numeral 2 says that in order for the Christian life to grow, we need a discipline of God's government. So we are not just mere. It's important for us to receive Christ. We need to enjoy Christ. That's important. But on the other hand, as a Christian walk, we need 2 feet, right? We need 2 foot. So the other hand, we also need to focus on, are we properly disciplined and ruling over by God's government?
Amen.
So this is so precious that Peter points out these 2 aspects of our Christian life. And the third, Romans 3 says that when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he lived a human life that was absolutely under the government of God and committed everything related to him to God's government. You know, I appreciate this point as well, because whenever God has a principle for us, he always set a pattern, a model for us, right? And this pattern is our Lord Jesus. And you know, we can see all those pictures in the book of all the Gospels, right? When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he submitted himself under God's authority and his economy, right? Even though he was God, but he did not stand on the ground as his God. Instead, he stayed on the ground as the Son of Man. As a man, he always submitted to God's authority. Amen. And you know, the example of Jesus when he was on the cross, right? And there's people came to see him and even mocked at him, that they questioned Jesus that if you were God, came down and save yourself. But you know, Jesus could have just came down and save himself. But if he came down, we would not be here, right? We would not be redeemed, be saved, and God's economy cannot be fulfilled. So this is a very clear picture for us that for God's economy to be fulfilled, we need to be under his authority and under his ruling.
Amen.
So point 3, we have a model, we have a pattern today, and this life, submissive life, the life that will be under God's authority is now in us, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to depend on our own natural strength anymore. Yeah. This life that always obeys God is now in us. Whenever we turn to our spirit, join to this spirit, we spontaneously will be willing to suffer, will be willing to be under his ruling. Amen. This is so wonderful. And lastly, Romans number 4. Here is quite a few, I think it's 5 points that's really practical and really applicable for us to exercise to be under God's government in our day-to-day living. So it says, as believers in Christ and children of God, we should live a Christian life under the government of God. And point 8 says that the Epistle of Peter revealed that Christ, who enabled us to take God's governmental dealings, just like point 3, now today we have this life. This life enables us to be suffered. We are not suffering on our own strength, but we suffer and we by the strengthening of our Lord Jesus Christ. And point B says that we should pass the time of sojourning in holy fear. You know, the holy fear, the fear here is not mentioned that, oh, God will be angry, so we need to be afraid. We need to be fear of God. No, the holy fear is that we are afraid of losing His presence, yeah. God's presence. Amen. If we are not holy, right, God cannot meet us and speak to us and cannot infuse Himself into us. So we need to have this kind of proper fear, that the fear of we are not holy, we are not pure. So we need to turn to our spirit, because the sanctifying power is in our spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Point six says that we should be humble under the mighty hand of God. Again, we have this such a pattern. Lord Jesus always humbled Himself, right? And we don't. When we are in suffering, when we are in the environment, we don't just complain. We don't just struggle with the Lord. We just open, be soft, just be humble. And point D, at this point, I love this so much. We should commit our souls to the faithful Creator. We just have worshiping the Father, right? He is a faithful one. And when we commit ourselves, can be like an example that when we deposit our money in the bank, right? We trust the bank will keep our money. And the same thing, when we commit ourselves to God, we trust God will keep ourselves. And you know, in our environment, you know, when we are suffering, we just trust in the Lord. He knows what He is doing right now.
Right.
And the suffering is not just simply make us to suffer, because He wants to infuse Himself into us.
Yeah.
He wants us to get more Christ in our trials, in our environment.
Amen.
So we need to have this simple faith, right? When there is an environment, we just, Lord, give ourselves to You. Strengthen us. Infuse Yourself into us. And through these trials and sufferings, fulfill Your economy in us. And lastly, point E, in death in Christ, we have died to sin, so that the resurrection of Christ, we might live to righteousness under God's government. So eventually, you know, God is on the throne of righteousness. Why the Lord need to deal with us? Why need to correct us? Because when we were sinners, we were not righteous before God. But eventually, God will correct us. He will make us righteousness again before Him. But this is not by our own merit. It's by His redeeming, His crucifixion, and His life-giving Spirit. So whenever we turn to this Spirit inside of us, spontaneously, we will be the righteousness before God. So this is really not just depend on our own. It's really depend on the Christ that died for us, resurrected and ascended for us. And He is a righteousness before God. When we are in Christ, we are righteousness. So I will stop here. And last week it's also a love feast, right? It's a feast. Many of us joined the conference with Father A. Marks. So we encourage you can either share something from the memorial this week, or you can overflow something you enjoy, the portion you had from last week.
Amen.
Or whatever you enjoy this week, I believe your sharing will be very beneficial to all the saints.
Amen.
Because He who prophesied built up the church.
Amen.
And we need your portion,
saints. Amen. Amen.
So maybe you can start with 3 minutes each.
Amen.
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 The Lord.
Amen. Sir, I'd like to share one sentence from the conference, and I'd like to share one verse from our morning revival.
Amen.
So our morning revival says, living a Christian life under the government of God. So the first part is for living a Christian life. I'm going to use the conference. And then, under the government of God,
I'll use a verse from the morning revival. Very simple, very simple. What I have is very simple. So the message number two, so the Memorial Day conference was all based upon Romans 5:10. 5:10 says, if we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's wonderful right there. We are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's a precious thing. His Son is very precious. Anyway, much more we'll be saved in His life.
Amen.
Having been reconciled. So, we're much more, the whole conference was on the much more we'll be saved in His life.
Amen.
Making the salvation in the divine life, in the Lord's life, very concrete and very detailed. So,
amen.
One point is from message number two about we're saved in His life from naturalness, from individualism, and from divisiveness. So my point is from the first point on naturalness. So we're saved from naturalness by continuously exercising our spirit.
Amen.
By continuously exercising our spirit.
Amen.
When we do this, we can deny the self. We can deny the self. We continuously exercise our spirit to deny ourself. And that's on the negative side. And there needs to be something to replace the self, so we live Christ. We live Christ.
Amen.
And He's the crucified. I enjoyed this very much. He's the crucified and resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Signified by the tree of life. So there are two lines in the Bible, the line of life and the line of death. And they're all seen very clearly in Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, the kernel of the Bible. So that's the living a Christian life. We continuously exercise our spirit. We deny ourselves, and we live Christ. So living Christ is, anyway, I'm out of time. Under the government of God, very quickly, is we just commit, like the Lord was the model, all things to God who judges righteously.
Amen.
So any offense, we don't need to have a strong reaction. We need to take Christ as our model and just commit that suffering, that offense, that to God who judges righteously.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. How wonderful. That's so releasing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that shows His life showed that committing all things to Him who judges righteously showed that He was continuously living under the divine government.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, the government of God, I don't think we like to be judged, right? But sometimes we like to judge others.
Yeah.
And this is a divine judgment. Remember the Pete and was in Numbers 21:8-9. The Lord, when the people of Israel rebelled, the Lord said to Moses, make a serpent, let's put it on a pole, and everyone who is beaten when he sees shall live. So Moses did what the Lord said. And if the serpent beat anyone, he will look at the front serpent and left. Right? And in the government of God, there is authority, there is laws. Right? So if we break the law, human natural laws, we're going to be punished. Right? We're going to pay consequences. But we have the divine life in us, the divine, the law of life, that lives inside of us that can help us to walk through this judgment of God, suffering, trials. You know, sometimes we complain. We need to, you know, what happened? I love the Lord too much. I do the right thing. I do that. Why this happening to me while the other people have is enjoying this and that, have money, they're going so good. Why I'm not prospering? Well, it's because the Lord wanna grow in us. You see, the Lord, with all these trials, tribulation we're going through, is right to mature. You see, I always talked about pride. We're very proud, but we need to be under the mighty hand of God, humbleness. So only the Lord can make us humble. We cannot do it. Sometimes we think we're humble because we're very spiritual. We have a lot of knowledge, right? But we need to pray, say, Lord, forgive me. I repent because I think I'm... See, we all people over 60, 70, we have nothing to be proud of. Not much to be proud. Young people are still proud when you accomplish things. Okay, see, I want to go and do this. You accomplish to get your degree, get a nice apartment, and suddenly it falls down. You're in the mountain, and suddenly you go to the valley. And then you say, what happened? I love the Lord. Well, you need to be humble. You think you're humble, but you need to be humble. Only let the Lord could do it. So we need to pray. We need to say, forgive me, Lord. I repent. I know your judgment, divine judgments for me to grow in you. And we come to this government of God that we can live in the kingdom of God and His administration, which is different, not the same. So we need to really pray and say, Lord, save me, help me. I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We have to love Him to the uttermost. If we have a problem, we love Him to the uttermost, right?
Amen.
So, Lord Jesus, thank you for this message.
Amen.
I appreciated that in 2 Peter we have both the divine provision and the divine government.
Yeah.
So we see that although there is God's government, He doesn't judge us without giving us the rich supply, right? In 2 Peter 1:3 we see that His divine power is granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness. Through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue, through which He has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
And so we see there's the supply for us, that the supply is there to meet the need. And then, okay, and then, hopefully this all makes sense. I appreciated the example given in the spoken message about the design of the tabernacle, right? There's the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Now, the destination we want to get to is the holy of holies,
right.
But in order to get there, we have to pass through the outer court and the holy place. And if you go into the outer court, what do you see when you get in there? It's bronze, lots of bronze, and that is typifying judgment.
Amen.
Right, and so I appreciated there was one point in the outline that said, you know, we have received this new, we are a new creation,
Amen.
But the old creation still remains.
Yeah.
And so what needs to happen is we need to be judged, the old Adam, like all of these things have to be cut off that we can enter in to the Holy of Holies. So that's why today there's God's judgment in a daily way, which is just, you know, like, there's suffering, right? There's things happening. Like somebody says something, your kids say something, and it's just like, it's cutting us, right? But what is that for? That's to cut off all of the things of the old creation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tie this to one of the messages from the conference last weekend, because we saw in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, that there is the washing of the water in the Word.
Yeah.
And so that washing is, the word there is labor. And so the labor is also made of bronze.
Amen.
And so actually when we come to the Word, there is an exposing and a dealing of who we are, all of those things. And we need to continue to learn to commit these things to the one who judges righteously, right? But then, after we're being judged, then there's the sanctifying. There's the washing of the water in the Word. So I just appreciate it from last weekend. Not only is there the labor, but there's the water. And so there's the supply with the judgment, right? And then what does that issue in? That issues in the beautifying of and the preparation of the bride. And so I just said, amen, Lord, right? Cause me to realize what's happening. There is a divine government and we're being judged. But how do we respond? As believers, as ones who have seen this, how do we respond to our environment, to our situation, right? We need to say amen. We need to learn to press on all the way into the Holy of Holies. And the brothers said one thing. He said we cannot be airdropped into the Holy of Holies. We have to pass through all of these experiences in order to get all the way in.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Appreciate it.
Amen.
I was actually pondering this verse this whole week, the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, because it's very deep. You know, when I first, because we're in message 3. So he says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us all things. So the Lord has granted to us all things. What? Related to life and godliness. The Lord, the revelation the Lord has granted to us is related to all things related to life and godliness. How? But through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtues. So the Lord wants to give us the full knowledge. The reason we couldn't match is because we don't understand Him. We have so little knowledge of Him. So we are so easy to be affected by our environment, by all these things happen to us, and our natural man, which is where Satan dwells, always coming out, frustrating us. So, and the Lord give us a permission. He has granted us all things. But the requirement is we need to turn. We need to switch. You know, it's not so much to repent, forgive, Lord. I mean, so begging the forgiveness. I mean, this morning I was so intrigued by my youngest grandson because he did something wrong. So he said, I hate myself, help myself. So in the car, I was just a little bit, you know, comfort his heart. Yes, we always do something wrong. We hate ourselves and we're powerless. But the Lord, God didn't using a judgment sweep, you know, try to punish us. No, the Lord has granted us everything already. All we need to do is, Lord, forgive me. Yes. I'm turning. So when we're turning, He has granted us all things related to life and godliness. Amen. Through the full knowledge. That's why we need to eat the Word. Amen. Every day, eat the Word. I mean, the brother gave us a sample, the petrified wood. You know, when you pick it up, petrified wood, I remember when I was young, my father did, you know, we do have a petrified wood in our house. It's hard, very heavy, because when you look at wood, it's not that hard, it's not that heavy. But this one, because you cannot break it, it's all the minerals, all the deposit to it. It looks like wood, but it's not wood. Because everything being through, the mineral has deposited. So it's the same thing to us. The Lord has chosen us. His desire is want to make us a holy priest. Like this morning, all singing, you know, the holy priest. Well, the priest is offering to God, amen, to satisfy God and bring man to God, to God to man. That's our position. But how? It's not by my old man. I can be a good man, try to cook something for somebody, try to impress them, to please them, to bring them to the meeting. But that's not the purpose. We need to magnify Christ. How? Amen. But not by ourselves. By us coming to the Word. Amen. Every day. It's not it's not performance, but it's a naturally express God. So, amen. Continue this verse. And He has called us by His own glory and virtue, through which He has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through this you might become partakers of the divine nature. This is the promise, and it's carrying out. You believe it or not, you are on the right track. As long as you stay in the church life, you enjoy the Lord, we become partakers of this divine nature, and having escaped the corruption within the world by lust. So don't look at this world. This world is frustrating us, you know, stopping us. We just need to look upon Christ. Look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
You know, He's the only right. righteous one. He judges us by his righteousness. We deserve all this judgment because it's our unrighteousness. But we just need to turn to the Lord. Amen. Lord, cover me. Cover us. Lord, I love you. So the Amen. First thing is we need to love the Lord.
Amen.
And we love the Lord by loving his word. Every morning when you come to the word will sanctifying you a little
Amen.
Bit. It's a daily thing. It's not airdrop, like what Esther said. Not airdrop to the Holy of Holies. We need to go through everything. We need to be judged because of unrighteousness. But the Lord has full provision already. We just need to take Him. Lord, take us. Go through the holy place. Eat the Word. We are in the church life. Don't escape the church life. You're thinking you can do it by yourself. No. Stay in the meeting. Stay in the church life. Stay with the saints, your companions. Then we can build up together and come into the Holy of Holies. And the Lord will attract us. So let's go on. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for this message. Saints, I just want to read one of the points here. I feel like the outline was just so sweet and, you know, so full of meaning. As believers in Christ and children of God, we should live a Christian life under the government of God. So many times, I feel like when we are going through all of these sufferings and struggles, we probably say, why me? Right? Why am I broke? Why is my friend rich? Why am I in illness? Why is this person not in illness? So it's so easy for us to look around us and feel like we are being defeated all the time and to say, well, you know, like, why is the Lord allowing such things, right, to happen? But we just have to be clear that as we sign this message, we're just sojourners of this earth, right? So we're not here to stay. We want to bring the kingdom.
Yeah.
So the Lord is doing the work of purification. So all of the situations that we go through are for our growth in life, are for our purification, and even a testing and a trial. You know, the Lord tests us through all these trials. How is our love for Him? So many times we try to overcome all of our situations and live under this government by according to what we think should be right. But we see in 1 Peter 2:21 that we were called because Christ also suffered on our behalf. So praise the Lord. And the word here, the key word here is model, right? The Lord was one who committed himself to the Father, who did everything according to the Father, and he has left everything as a model to us. So we can follow these steps. If the Lord overcame, the Lord can also overcome in us because of this life within us. And I just wanted to connect this to the conference that we just had. Actually, we learned that there is a higher law within our being, and that is the law of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
So in ourselves, we cannot do it. But when we switch on to our spirit, the Lord can do it in us. The very life that we receive when we believe in the Lord Jesus is a person. And the only way to apply and enjoy this person is by loving Him with the first love. Since the Lord Jesus is our life, is our person, we need a new contact with Him to enjoy His presence at this very moment and day by day.
Amen.
And we see in John 14:21, it says, I will make myself real to Him. That I will manifest myself to Him. This means I will make myself real to Him. So I just appreciated that in connection to all of this, even just being under the government and living this Christian life, the most important thing is our love for the Lord. If we love the Lord, then we are those who are willing to commit our souls to Him. We are those who are willing to live under this divine life, and it will not be a suffering, but it will be a joy, right? We see from Paul that even in the darkest times when he was suffering the most, he still had joy and he still rejoiced. May this be our experience, you know, as an anti-testimony to this age, that it doesn't matter what we go through, the Lord is judging, right, through His righteousness. He has given us the provision. We have the life within us, and we are able to overcome any situation in Him who is able to do it in us. Amen.
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 was last Thanksgiving Day, the conference, those message. Most of them focus on the Apostle Peter's writing. You know, the Apostle Peter doesn't write too much. Our Paul, Apostle Paul, write a 14 epistle, right? 109 or something chapter. But our Peter only write a single digit, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. But thank you for this ministry.
Amen.
Interpreting the gold mine from here. Amen. Amen. Why they talk about that? But we should forget the things behind. During the Thanksgiving, Atlanta, you know, during that situation, just like we still remember last year, is the election just come over, right? The world, the government always bother us. But this ministry speak a timely word.
Yeah.
I got a government, this word, okay? Right. Only come to Bible seven times. Even Peter didn't talk about the government. Paul talked a couple times. But very, very, the hiding the truth in here, especially, you know, we are familiar. A lot of brothers and sisters speaking Isaiah. Three times. Wow, the favorite verse, you will like it. Chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government is upon the shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor.
Amen.
Mighty God.
Right.
Eternal Father.
Right.
Prince of Peace.
Amen.
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 This is the first time Isaiah talk about government. Government is shoulder. Amen. Only this son, only this one, carry his government. No matter how we change the president, but the government is still there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I think I was really touched this week with these verses of Peter. You know, I think we know there's suffering, right? I think we all have various, you know, degrees and situations we're put in. I was really reminded when we were in Chicago, there was an elder brother, he was about 80 at the time, who we spoke with. He had been in the church in Chicago. He had migrated from Taiwan to California and then was one of the first to go to Chicago. And he was talking about all the turmoils and the rebellions that had gone on, and just the division within the church, right? He spoke one time, they showed up at a Lord's Day after something had happened, and there were only 5 people there, right? Because something terrible had happened, right? But his word to us was, actually, you should not be discouraged. You actually should not be disheartened, right? And don't be stumbled, yeah. I was really reminded in 4:12, right? Beloved, do not think that the fiery ordeal among you, mm-hmm. coming to you for a trial, is strange, mm-hmm. right? As if it were a strange thing that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would think something, actually, it could be very strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just impressed. Actually, the Lord, this word for fiery, right? It even mm-hmm. conveys burning, like a burning of a furnace, right?
Mm-hmm.
To refine even the gold from the alloy or the minerals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of the saints have shared, right? It's like, actually, the Lord, He is holy, right?
Exactly.
And He needs us to be holy, right?
Yeah.
And actually, just a few verses later, it talks about judgment starts from the house, right?
Right?
I think we don't like that. We say, Lord, why don't you judge the world, right? Or judge, you know, don't let all this unrighteousness happen. We're trying our best here, right? But no, the Lord said, actually, no, right? We have to be judged.
Amen.
And then the Lord will judge. Surely He will judge
yes.
all the rest.
So
I think actually it is even this should be an encouragement to us, right? In the Lord, actually, we need discipline. We need our spouses, our children. We need the saints. We need all these environments. Even we need the very not so pleasant things, right? To strip us, actually to burn us, so that actually the Lord, there can be the gold, right? There can be the refining, so that we can be a holy people who can express God, right? Lord Jesus, I don't know, it's just, there's so many lines here, like, actually, even in 1 Corinthians, right, as touched in the table, it says, God is faithful, right, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, right?
Amen.
It's like, what is he faithful to? Actually, that was in the context of so much division in the church of Corinth, right? But God was saying, God is faithful, right? He was bringing the believers through this situation, right? Even as a testing, right? Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And so I think it is not something it is not easy, but we shouldn't be, right? We shouldn't think it's strange. Actually, we should have this encouragement and assurance from the Lord. Actually,
Amen.
the Lord loves those, right, who he's dealing with. And he is, we as sons, we are being dealt with by our Heavenly Father. Actually,
Amen.
So that we would be like him. Right.
Amen.
We would express
Amen.
Him to the uttermost.
That's right.
And he would really have his expression on the earth.
Amen.
You know, things in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, it won't be for too long. He says, but the God of all grace, who he has called you into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself perfect us, establish us, strengthen us, and ground in us.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to say congratulations, brothers and sisters, because the judgment starts from the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Do you feel blessed?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If we actually see the big picture, what God wants to do, we should feel very honored to be judged first, right? Actually, yesterday I was fellowshipping with my wife. I say, actually, God gave us a open book exam,
right.
And He gave us ample time to prepare for this final judgment, right? If the Lord hasn't judged us daily, let's say, then we would be flat-footed when we come to the judgment seat.
Right.
Oh Lord, what happened? Right? Oh
yeah,
right. We all know. That day is kind of scary, right? But praise the Lord, He gave us an open book, right?
Amen.
You know, He actually, you know, the Spirit actually helped us. The Spirit and the Word, right? You know, daily we're actually experiencing this kind of judgment.
Yeah. That's right.
So on that day, we're fully assured, right?
Yeah.
If we actually, you know, submit or obey to His judgment.
Amen.
If we take His dealing,
that's right.
Then that day, we can very easily pass the test, right?
Amen.
I really appreciate that this ministry actually gave us this view. Actually, the judgment, the whole world is actually needs to be judged, right? It's actually better for us to be judged first than to be later. And the reason that the Lord wants to judge the world is actually to really to recover the whole world from the usurpation of Satan, from his opponent, right? Because so many things, so many evil or unrighteous things needs to be cleared out. We all longing for Lord's coming back, right? But, you know, when He comes back, He wants to establish this righteous kingdom on the earth. If we look around, right, you know, all the nations or whatever, the worldly government, they're not righteous, right? You know, it's pretty much all selfish, right? Every world, every government is looking after themselves, right? So that is the cause of all the strifes, all the wars and everything, you know, in the right? The you know, this chaotic things in the world. Oh Lord, how
Amen.
Much we are longing for the Lord's coming back, right?
Amen.
To establish the righteous kingdom. But Lord wants to come back, right? He cannot come back without this righteous kingdom people. So today He's really preparing this kingdom people in the church, right? He's first judging us, you know, to cleanse us, right? Amen. And He also wants us to be, you know, this righteous army, right? On the day of His coming back, He's actually coming back with the thousands of the righteous ones. Amen. Oh, this bridal army, right? Amen. So praise the Lord for His judgment, right? Brother and sister shared about this. I also was very touched the last weekend, you know, especially this message talking about the the bonds, the perfecting the pillars, right? Being the pillar and, you know, perfecting the pillars. And the pillars are actually made of bronze. And brothers help us to see, you know, the bronze is, you know, it typifies judgment, right? Because in the, you know, when you actually first get into the sanctuary, right? You'll actually see the bronze altar. And then in the Old Testament, we know that the bronze altar initially it was made from these 250 rebellious ones, right? From the Korah, their incense altar, you know. So we know this is a judgment against the rebellion.
Amen.
Actually, we know like the human being is actually rebellious, right? Even the little kid, right? It's like a 2 years old. They can say, what's the easiest way to, I mean, the first thing they say, if you want, parents want to do something, they will say no, right? So these kind of things are actually really in our blood, in our vein, right? We really had to, you know, Satan actually changed our genes, right? Oh Lord, how much we need to be saved. Oh, how much we need to be judged by, you know, by the Lord. So may we just be obedient, be humble before Him, open to His dealing day by day. So, Lord, we can all be cleansed by Him.
Praise
the
Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just want to read this piece. The purpose of God governing judgment is to clear up His universe. God will not live or dwell in a place that is unclean. Thus God is cleansing, purifying the universe. First, He purifies His household. We are now the center of His cleaning work.
Amen. Saints, I wanted to share something from the Thanksgiving conference and also from this conference. Here in section 2, it says here, although we have been born of God to have a spiritual life and to be a new creation, we are still in the old creation.
Yes.
And James mentioned, you know, and then it goes on, point C2, it says, in order for the Christian life to grow, we need the discipline of God's government.
Right.
And in the Thanksgiving conference, Brother James shared this verse in Jeremiah 48:11. Moab has been at ease from his youth,
right,
and he is settled on his lees,
right,
and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent has not changed.
Right.
You know, for the Lord to reconstitute us and make us a reproduction of Christ, He has to take care of this scent, our taste. And it's very personal, saints. This is related to our individual walk with the Lord, our individual relationship. And God the Father sovereignly creates circumstances, you know, our circumstances. Mine is different than yours.
Right.
Okay? And Brother Ron Kang has shared in the Thanksgiving, because I broke my hip. So does that mean everyone in the Lord's recovery have their hips broken? No. Your situation, my situation is mine.
That's right.
And God the Father creates the circumstances and situations to change our scent, to change our taste. And you know, saints, when I was thinking about this, you know, when I walk into a Korean church, you know, the scent and the taste is so Korean. It's so strong. I feel like I'm smelling kimchi. You know what I mean? And when you go into a black church, you know you're in a black church because they're swaying to the rhythm of the music.
Right.
It's black soul music.
Right.
You know? So there is a scent. There is a taste. Each one of us. Based on our race, our nationality, our culture, our own family background, there is something of the old creation.
Yeah.
So the Lord has to strip it, has to deal with it.
Right.
And I realized, you know, I didn't see so clearly, but I have to praise the Lord for this rich ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Nee, which is the Apostles' ministry, which is being continued by all the brothers sharing. And then this weekend, you know, the coming weekend, I just enjoy Brother Enmar sharing. And he, in Romans 6, it talks about Romans 6:4, verse 4, it says, We have been buried with Christ through his baptism
Amen.
Into his death.
Yeah.
And we have been raised with Christ
Amen.
Through raised with Christ by the glory of the Father into his resurrection. So now what do we do? What's left to do is to just simply walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
And that baptism, Brother Edmarks linked it to Romans 8:28, when he talks about the all things work together for the good for those who love God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the all things Amen. In our environment. It's our baptism.
Yes.
So in a way, so I just really appreciate this ministry.
Amen.
Amen. The title of this week is The Christian Life Under the Government of God.
Right.
And so we see these two things, they go together as a pair. Right? When we were saved, we may have had the wrong concept that the Christian life is merely something that is just enjoyable. You know, we just receive everything from God. But here we see that the Christian life and the government of God go together.
Yeah.
As the believers in Christ, we are under God's government.
Yeah.
And we should live under God's government.
Yeah.
And so for us, we see that, it's not just about enjoying the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, we can enjoy the Lord. We can talk about reading the Bible, having the precious time with the Lord. But at the same time, we need to take care of our living, right? Of our living righteously before God. The brother shared one verse from Ecclesiastes 12. This verse tells us that we need to remember our Creator.
Amen.
God is not only our Father, but He's also our Creator.
Amen. Amen.
He created us for His purpose. In Ephesians 1:4, it says that He even chose us before the foundations of the world, right?
Amen.
To be holy before Him in love.
Amen.
And so, as our Creator, He needs to make us holy. He needs for us, as our Father, right? He Himself is holy,
Amen.
And He wants a holy family,
Amen.
Right? That all the children themselves would also be holy. And so we see from this week that God governs actually by judging. And so we shouldn't, even shy away from all the things that we're passing through. But as we're passing through the God's judgment, as we're living under His government, we would pass through our sojourning in fear of the Lord.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after, right? These words really touch me. Because it's not merely about enjoying the Lord, but we need to take care of the matter of God's government. There's many things that we experience, even things that we ourselves are not responsible for. The Lord touched me. There's so many things. My family in the flesh. It's almost like I inherit their problems, and I'm always being brought into their situations. And this is really a suffering to me. And even sometimes in the service in my church life, we pass through suffering. And seemingly, it's not our fault. It's not due. We don't deserve it. But God allows these things to take place so that we would partake of His holiness.
Amen.
And I was really touched that we have a pattern.
Hallelujah.
For us, yes, we we're fallen. We need to be dealt with. But here in this week, we saw that even the Lord, He passed
Amen.
Through the suffering.
Yes.
And I really asked the Lord, I said, Lord, You did nothing wrong.
Right.
Why? Why did You go through this?
Right.
Why did You allow this to take place? Why did You accept this?
Yeah.
Even we sang this morning, He was a man of sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 53 tells us that He was acquainted with grief. Every moment of His life, was filled with pain and suffering. He went through all this for us. He would even leave us a model, a pattern to follow. And I just had to worship the Lord
Amen.
For Him being the pattern.
Amen.
You know, We deserve it, but he does not deserve it, right? He didn't deserve the suffering. But yes, he had to leave a model for us.
Amen.
And may we follow in his footsteps.
Amen.
Pssalm 16 tells us how even the Lord lived his life. It says that he counseled, the Father counseled him. That means that he took care of his fellowship with the Father. And so as we're passing through the sufferings, we would not run away from God.
That's right.
Actually, we would allow God to counsel us.
Yeah. Amen.
And we would commit our souls to God.
Amen.
This really touched me. It says that the Lord, he was the one who kept committing all to him who judges righteously.
Amen.
Everything that we go through, every insult, every injury, every suffering, you know, we can commit to the Lord.
Amen.
And we can even commit our very soul to the Lord.
Yes.
Trusting in him.
Yes.
And this will give us rest and peace.
Yeah.
So may we learn to live the Christian life.
Okay.
Even under the government of God.
Yes.
Amen. I was very touched by this week's message. The title is Living a Christian Life Under the Government of God. So I think that we all want to live a life, but we often don't want to live under the government of God. You know, everyone knows that my dad was served in the army for a long, long time. And when I preached the gospel to him, I remember he told me, he said that throughout my life, I have been under the authority for so long. Now I want to be myself. I don't want to listen to anyone. But here, I think in the outline it says that actually the preciousness of Peter's writing is that he combines Christian's life and God's government. I think brothers and sisters also mentioned about this. And it says that, you know, although we have been born of God, we are still in the old creation. That is why, you know, the Lord often needs to discipline us. And I think brothers and sisters mentioned about this. Actually, the Lord gave us a very good pattern. That was himself, right? Mm-hmm. So he actually was obedient unto death. He really gave us a good pattern so that we also want to commit our souls to the faithful Creator. And I was very touched, I think also in the message, it says a little bit about this, you know, like active, passive, you know. I think in the outline it says that be willing to be made humble, lowly, under his mighty hand.
Amen.
So we need to exercise our willingness. We are willing to, you know, like receive the Lord's governance and also his dealing. And then be willing to be made humble. So it's actually not our effort. It's actually, you know, we committed our soul to him, so that he can, that he can work in us, day by day, moment by moment. And I was very touched by Esther's sharing about his provision, because often we feel that, you know, like, why do the Lord wants to punish us or, you know, deal with us?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, like so often, we only look at his dealing.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did not give ourselves a chance to look at his provision.
Mm.
Actually, whenever we turn to him, we would, you know, we would feel that his supply is so rich. And day by day, we will be, like, you know, more like him. And I remember I mentioned several times, you know, like my sister always says that when I see you, I don't want to get baptized. And I was like, hopefully I continue to be transformed, and one day I can be a, you know, good testimony, and they can get saved. They can get baptized. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoy. I think we had the Lord speaking, much speaking this morning.
Amen.
And yes. I first want to echo Brother Min Jing. Congratulations to the saints. Because his judgment starts from the house of God.
Amen.
In this New Testament age. And what a privilege, right? We can be his children. If we feel anything in our daily living, we feel we've been disciplined by the Lord, we really need to be happy, because we know he will not giving us up, because right. We are his beloved children.
Amen.
And I really enjoy this precious pair, right? The government of God and the Christian life. I never seen this so clearly this time. Now, when I think about Christian life, I think a lot of other things, but I never think about the government of God. But, you know, without the government of God, our Christian life is no restraint, right? We never want to be governed by anything. Even, you know, the world government, we hope there's no policemen at all, right? We don't like to have IRS. We don't. But we really need the government of God. Because that he governed by judge.
Yeah.
His governing is by his judging. And the purpose is that for his economy.
Amen.
What is his economy? Is he will make us just like him. He's a God of righteousness. He is a God of holiness.
Amen.
And he's a God of glory.
Amen.
And his judging, his government, his discipline is make us just like him.
Amen.
With his righteousness, his holiness, and his glory.
Amen.
And he have grant all this, right? All things of related life and godliness to us.
Amen.
We just need to allow it to grow, to develop, and our destination will be one with him in New Jerusalem.
Amen.
This two weeks ago, I was fellowshipping with some brothers I first met, never met before. And one of the brothers shared, he said, the reason he was gained by the Lord is very much related to two times of car accident. And I say, amen, yes. I think I have a similar experience, you know, about 20 years ago. You know, I start to feel, I start to pursue the Lord. I have a car accident. And right away, I know it is God. It's his discipline. Because he's not happy with, you know, my situation, my intention, my behavior. But, you know, as long as we recognize his judgment, his government, his discipline, then we will be able to open to him,
you know,
to receive all his correction, his judgment
Amen.
For us. So we can further participate in his righteousness
Amen.
And his holiness.
That's right.
So don't feel strange if something happened to you, right? Maybe before you got saved, you can have illegal parking for an hour. I'm not receiving any ticket. But once you got saved, yeah, maybe just 3 minutes, you got a ticket. That's praise the Lord. That's his discipline.
Yes.
But his discipline is not just this hour. Amen. You know, our sister sharing. Actually, his judgment is daily and can be in his and very much in his word.
Amen.
The washing of the word, the washing of the water in the word.
Amen.
That's what we need to every day. We come to him, open ourselves to him. Allow him to shine upon us.
Amen.
Anything, you know, our behavior, our conduct, right? We may sin against God, or we can sin against others, or we offend others. That all need to be judged.
Amen.
Not only that, even our intention, our inward intention, maybe, you know, we didn't act it out, but mm-hmm. our intention is not righteous, is not holy, and we cannot express the Lord. That's something we need to daily open to the Lord, that requires daily, you know, come to Him, especially in the morning. We give ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Allow Him to judge us, to shine us, and make us really participate.
Amen.
He in His divine life and nature. Amen. So, the discipline is for our enjoyment.
Amen.
As our brother shared, if we only exercise in enjoyment, but we are not open to the Lord's judgment, our enjoyment of Him cannot go on. The Lord will hold it. You know, don't allow us to enjoy Him more. So we need to take care of this sense of life. When we feel we lost His presence, lost His shining, we know we need to further open ourselves to Him. Allow Him to really shine us, whether we have anything that hinder His presence, hinder His shining, hinder His speaking to us.
Amen.
So may the Lord, you know, since He has spoken this word to us, those words not in vain.
Amen.
We will live such a living, you know, His government, our living will be under His government.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Thank you for your divine discipline.
Amen.
Oh, no matter what the suffering we're going,
amen.
We want to stay under your government.
Amen.
Oh, we give this week to you.
Amen.
Oh, give you all those ones who went away, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, bring them back to the church life.
Amen.
Oh, open the eyes of the blind.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, not only give us the Zoe divine life,
amen.
Also give us your nature.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for this past week.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you for bringing us into the reality of your government.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, give you this week.
Amen.
I pray that we will be living under the reality of this government.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may we just really see you as the sovereign God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, supplying and the one who is sovereign.
Amen.
Oh, may we see your throne as the center of your administration in this universe.
Yes. Amen.
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 Make us open to your divine government in this universe.
Amen.
Give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, submit ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, humble ourselves before you.
Amen.
We trust in you.
Amen.
The divine provision.
Amen.
The highest demand is met by the divine, the highest grace.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, may we just be open to you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement.
Amen.
Lord, what a picture set before us.
Amen.
Lord, you want to gain your people.
Amen.
Lord, you want to gain your kingdom.
Amen.
Lord, you want to come back.
Amen.
Lord, may this new Jerusalem such a real,
amen.
A real testimony of you.
Amen.
Lord, draw our daily living.
Amen.
Oh, that we won't be perfected by you.
Amen.
Oh, be sanctified by you.
Amen.
Oh, that you can gain your purpose among us.
Amen.
Make us a holy nation towards you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may all these words so real to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.